I just feel something very special in this place today. We're just going to go ahead and we're going to move on into the preaching of the word. I know sometimes we always welcome everybody and shake hands, but I feel like we just need to just keep right on going. So glad to have Brother Robbie Knox with us from Missouri. He's been a pastor. He's been an evangelist. I heard he was on his way to take a trip to Israel, so I said, come a day early and spend the weekend with us and preach for us, and we're so glad to have him in the house of the Lord. And why don't you welcome Brother Knox as he comes to preach the word of the Lord today.
Thank you, Pastor Evanson. Praise the Lord, everybody. Why don't we clap our hands one more time to the Lord and let the Lord know what we think about him. Jesus, we love you. You're so good to us. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. What an awesome God we serve. Amen. It is wonderful to be in New Jersey with you great folks again. Enjoyed myself tremendously this time last year when we came through, going to the same place I'm going to in a couple of days, Israel. A beautiful place, the Holy Land. And I believe we're on holy ground here this morning. Give honor to your pastor and his wife and family and this wonderful church. I feel the Lord in this place this morning, this afternoon rather. I feel the Lord in this place. How many feel Jesus in this place? You know, we'd kind of be wasting our time if we come to the house of the Lord and we didn't feel his presence. But I've enjoyed this service thus far. I've enjoyed the singing, Pastor Evanson. I've enjoyed the singing. He'll be selling CDs after church today. No, I'm just kidding. But I've enjoyed the music, the singing, ushered us in to receive the word of the Lord. You know, the Bible tells us that laughter's like a medicine. And I get real nervous when I get around people that don't like to laugh and have a good time. I come from a family that of practical jokers. I come from a family that likes to laugh and cut up and have a good time. And I like to laugh and have a good time because of what the Word of God tells us, that laughter is like a medicine. Because after you laugh, you feel a little bit better, don't you? Feel a little bit better about yourself. And we congratulate Brother and Sister Evanson on gaining a son this last weekend. And come across something that was kind of comical to me, I thought. There was this little girl that attended a wedding for the first time, and she whispered to her mother. She said, "Why is the bride dressed in white?" And the mother said, "Because white is the color of happiness, and today is the happiest day of her life." The child thought about this for a moment. You know, kids are just plain and straight up. This little girl said, "So why is the groom wearing black then?" There was this little girl that was dressed in her Sunday best, and she was running real fast as she could, trying to not be late for Sunday school, for class, Bible class. And as she ran, she prayed, "Dear Lord, please don't let me be late. Dear Lord, please don't let me be late." And while she was running and praying, she tripped on a curb and she fell, and she got her clothes all dirty, and she tore her dress, and she got up and brushed herself off. She started running again. And as she ran, she once again began to pray, "Dear Lord, please don't let me be late, but please don't shove me either." There were three boys that were in the schoolyard, and they were bragging about their dads. The first boy said, "My dad scribbles a few words on a piece of paper, and he calls it a poem. They give him $50. And the second boy said, "Oh, that's nothing. My dad scribbles a few words on a piece of paper and he calls it a song. They give him $100. Well, the third boy said, "I got you both beat." I can imagine Joe and Joseph right now. I got you both beat. My dad scribbles a few words on a piece of paper and he calls it a sermon. It takes somebody to collect all the money from all the people in the church." Oh, we having a good time already. I'm having a great time. There was a police recruit was asking during the exam, "What would you do if you had to arrest your mother?" He answered, "Call for backup." There was a Sunday school teacher was discussing the Ten Commandments with her 5 and 6-year-olds. And after explaining the commandment to honor thy father and thy mother, she asked, is there a commandment that teaches us how to treat our brothers and sisters? And without missing a beat, one little boy answered, thou shalt not kill. Oh, kids are amazing. Kids are amazing. Speaking of weddings, and probably need to talk to Brother Joe after church about this, but might need to talk to Becky about this, but some home remedies will really help you out. Avoid cutting yourself when slicing vegetables by getting someone else to hold the vegetables while you chop. Some of y'all get this time tomorrow. I was telling Brother Evanson a while ago that if you can't fix it with a hammer, no, I didn't tell him this, but if you can't fix it with a hammer, you know you got an electrical problem, right? But there's only 2 tools in life that you need. Well, 2 tools in my household, WD-40 and duct tape. If it doesn't move and should, use the WD-40. And if it shouldn't move and does, use the duct tape. Well, praise the Lord, everybody. I've got one more cute one I got to tell you. Folks, the Bible says laughter's like a good medicine. And I just want to give everybody a good dose of medicine, what I've been taking, all right? There was a Sunday school teacher who was carefully explaining the story of Elijah the prophet and the false prophets of Baal. And she explained how Elijah built the altar and put wood upon it and cut the steer in pieces and laid it upon the altar. And then Elijah commanded the people of God to fill 4 barrels of water and pour it over the altar. And he had them to do this 4 times. Now, said the teacher, can anyone in the class tell me why the Lord would have Elijah pour water over this sacrifice on the altar? And there was a little girl in the back of the room, started waving her hand, said, I know. She said, it's to make the gravy. Well, if you have your Bibles, would you turn with me today? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God's good. I've got a whole bunch of them here today. St. Luke chapter 5. I'm happy to be here. I feel the Lord in this place. Praise God. Praise God. St. Luke chapter 5. I feel the Lord's going to help us here today. Amen. How many's excited about what the Lord is doing? Amen. Verse number 1 of St. Luke chapter 5. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw 2 ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Verse number 5 again, And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. I'd like to preach to you just for a little while this afternoon on this thought. Nevertheless, at thy word. Nevertheless, at thy word. Jesus, we're so appreciative. We're so thankful this afternoon for your word. We're so thankful and grateful for your presence that we feel in this house. I pray that you administer now, walk up and down these aisles and in and out of these pews, in the front and in the back. Anoint this place with your spirit. Touch our hearts, touch our minds. They're open now to hear and receive your word. We receive it now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Turn to about three or four people, smile at them real big. Tell them they're better looking than you are. Don't get too quiet. I get real nervous. All right? You can make a little noise every now and then, all right? Beat on the pew or kick the pew in front of you. Do something, all right? Some people, they have tried to say and have the idea that Jesus was an unpopular man while he was on the earth. Well, you can read the Gospels and tell that that isn't true. Time and time again, multitudes pressed upon him to hear what he had to say. And such was the case here as Jesus stood by Lake Gennesaret, as we read in our scripture text. At the water's edge, Jesus saw two boats, as we see here in the scripture reading. He stepped into Simon's boat and he said, "Thrust out a little from the land." And there Jesus sat in the ship, and there he began to teach the multitude of people that were there. I wonder today, the Bible does not say, but I wonder today what was that Jesus preached that day. I wonder what it was that he taught. I wonder what Jesus said to the multitude. Perhaps, maybe, what was his text? What was his scripture reading? Nobody really knows. But somehow in his infinite wisdom, Jesus felt it more important to tell us what he said to one man than what he said to the whole entire multitude. Jesus looked back and he looked back at Simon Peter and he said, "I want you to launch out into the deep and I want you to let down your nets for a great catch." Jesus was saying, "Peter, you bless me by allowing me to use this boat, and I am a debtor to absolutely no man at all. Now I'm going to turn around and I'm going to bless you." But this is what Peter said. He said, "Master, we've done something. I don't know if you realize it or not, but we have toiled all the night and we have taken absolutely nothing. We don't have anything in our hands to show for it." Now think about this. These were experienced fishermen who fished for a living. They knew where to go. They knew what to do. They knew whether to spit on the worm or whether not to spit on the worm. I don't know if we have any fishermen here or not. They knew, they had all of the latest Cabela magazines and Bass Pro Shops, and they had all the equipment. They were experienced fishermen. They did this for a living. But yet Peter says, "We've toiled all night and have taken nothing." It wasn't that they had not put forth a great effort. They just had nothing to show for it. Maybe this afternoon, under the sound of my voice, you are here. And you are trying so hard, and you are struggling, doing everything possible. Yet when it seems like you've tried your hardest, you've got the least to show for it. You pray, you fast, you intercede, you do everything you can do, and you have absolutely nothing in your spiritual hands to show for it. You toiled all night long and you have taken absolutely nothing. You see, Peter was tired. Peter was discouraged. Peter was despondent. And Peter was defeated. Perhaps maybe he had visited his favorite fishing holes that night, places where he had caught fish before. He used the same nets that he had used before. Yet after laboring the whole night long, he said, "I have nothing to show for it, Jesus. I have nothing in my hands to show for it. Simon Peter continued though. He said, Jesus, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. I've toiled all night long and have nothing to show for it. But Jesus, at your word, if you're telling me to go down and let down the net again, I will do it and I'll do it again. Circumstances say there's no need to try, but faith says just get up and try it one more time. Feelings say, why don't you just give up and backslide, leave the church and throw in the towel? But faith says this: with God, I am more than a conqueror. The devil says you'll never do any good where you are, but God says, if I am for you, who can be against you? You've toiled all night long, you've got nothing to show for it. But at your word, I'll do it again. Somebody clap your hands to the Lord if you believe it. Praise God. I feel this afternoon that the Lord has sent me here to Secaucus, New Jersey for a word for somebody. Jesus was saying, let down your net for a draught. I want to bless you. Peter let down his net, and as he began pulling in it, the net was so full of fish that it began to break. That net began to break. And the Bible says that Peter called for his partners, James and John, who were in another boat, to come over and help. And they filled both boats until it seemed like they would sink. Isn't that just like the Lord? You know, when God blesses us, when God pours us out a blessing, folks, you can't contain that blessing. You've got to tell somebody. How many, when the Lord blesses you, you can't keep it quiet. You can't contain it. You got to hop on the phone. You got to call somebody. You got to tell somebody. See what God has done for you. You have filled your net up to where it's about to break. You have filled your boat up to you feel like your boat is rocking. Hey, I have been blessed. I've got to tell somebody else about it. And it blesses somebody else. You've toiled all night long under the sound of my voice. You hear me. And you've nothing to show for it. But Lord, at your word, I'm going to let down the net again. I'm going to let it down again because you're telling me to, and I'm going to believe you and trust you that you're going to be there for me again like you have been before in times past. You know, people get discouraged. And sometimes when people get discouraged, they turn their back on God and they walk away from God. Let me just tell you this, that when you're in trouble, the first thing you need to do is run to God, not away from God. I see it so many times. I see it so many times. It doesn't matter what age, young people, middle-aged people, older people. A lot of times, older people, they've seen it. They've been through the trials. They've been through the test. But when you get in trouble, and sometimes, folks, I fall flat on my face sometimes. Sometimes maybe that's the best place to be in a fighting position on your knees, fighting the devil in prayer. You're fasting, you're believing God, trusting God. God, I've failed, I've fallen, I've messed up, but you're in that fighting position. You're in that praying position. You're fighting the enemy. You're going against all the devils and imps and wimps and pimps and everything that he can throw against you. You're fighting that thing. And I want you to know something, that when you get in trouble, when you're down and when you seem like you're almost out, the best thing you can do is not run away from God, but run to God. When you're in trouble, run to God. I've got to tell somebody this afternoon that weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Don't give up. Hear me, somebody. Don't throw in the towel. The coming of the Lord is too soon for you to give up. You got to keep on praying. You got to keep the faith. Keep pressing on. Yes, you prayed for that lost wife. You prayed for that lost husband. You prayed for that lost loved one. You prayed for that lost friend. And you wonder if you should even pray another prayer. Yes, you've toiled. Yes, you've worked. Yes, you've travailed. Yes, you've even made an effort, and yet you seems like you've got nothing in your hands to show for it at all. But Jesus is saying this afternoon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets. I'm going to bless you with an abundance that you cannot contain within your own power. You're going to have to bless somebody else with the blessing I'm going to give you. I wish I had somebody that would believe with me right now. Somebody, if you believe it, why don't you clap your hands to the Lord and shout with your voice. Hallelujah. Had a friend of mine one time, his father had been backslid for 20 years. And his father was a truck driver. He had thought to himself, you know, I've prayed for my father, prayed for my father, and prayed for my father. And it seems like my father goes deeper into sin instead of coming closer to God. So he thought to himself, you know what, I'm not going to pray for Dad anymore. I'm just going to give up on him. I'm not going to pray for him anymore. So one particular night he thought about that, thought, you know, I'm not going to pray anymore. But something way down deep on the inside said, do it one more time. Do it one more time. So he began to pray, began to intercede for his father. The telephone rang, and on the other end was his dad. Truck driver going through Pensacola, Florida. Stopped in at a United Pentecostal church. They just happened to be having a revival meeting that night. And God gloriously baptized him again afresh with the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues. The Spirit of God gives the utterance. Is it time to give up? Is it time to give up on the prayer you've been praying for a long time? I don't have anything in my hands to show for it, preacher. No, I'm just going to launch out into the deep again. I'm going to let down my net again as I've done many, many times before. And God's going to bless and God's going to come through with the abundance. If you believe it, just thank God for it right now. Thank God in advance right now in Jesus' name. What we got to do is we got to stand up bold. We got to stand up strong, and we got to say this, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Somebody's fixing to get their catch of a lifetime here this morning. I'm just believing it with all my heart. Somebody's fixing to get their catch of a lifetime right here today. Yes, you've toiled, but your toil is not in vain. Yes, you've worked, but your work is not in vain. Yeah, you've travailed, but your travail is not in vain. Yeah, you've made an effort, but your effort's not in vain. You may have nothing to show for right now, but God is fixing to pour out a miracle blessing upon you if you'll just launch out into the deep and let down your net for an abundance that God wants to give you. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You know, when Peter realized what had happened, when he realized what took place, he fell down at Jesus' knees, the Bible said, and he said, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. I'm not worthy to even be here. But Jesus responded, fear not. From henceforth, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. I believe that the Lord was telling Peter something that day. And on this particular day, Peter caught a boatload of fish. But later, his preaching would be used to reach and convert 3,000 souls in one day and 5,000 in another day. Perhaps Jesus was saying to Peter, Peter, when you're discouraged, when you're down and out, when you're despondent, when you're defeated, when you feel like quitting, remember this, never give up. When you are frustrated, never give up. You may have toiled all night and have nothing to show for it now, but if you'll just obey my word and let down your net and do it again and not give up, I'll bless you beyond measure. On another occasion, Jesus sent his disciples to the other side of the lake while he stayed behind to pray. And he prayed, the Bible said, into the fourth watch, the very darkest hour of the night. And with the storm raging over the sea, the disciples were worried and they kept rowing and they were getting absolutely nowhere. And finally, Jesus came to them walking on the water, and the disciples thought he was a spirit and they were afraid. And Jesus spoke, be not afraid, it's just I. It's me, don't be afraid. Then Peter spoke up. You know, Peter was always speaking up. How many know somebody, they're always the one doing the talking?
Well, that was Peter. He was always speaking up. He said, if it's really you, Lord, if it's really you out there that's walking on the water, bid me to come to you. So Jesus responded with one word. He said, come. Isn't it amazing how much God can say in such few words? But Peter climbed out of that boat and he started walking to Jesus on the water. Hear me. If you don't get any part of this message this afternoon, I want you to get this. Don't ask God to do something if you don't really want him to do it. I know it's quiet, but you're thinking about it. Peter walked out a little way and then he took his eyes off Jesus. He looked at the water. He looked at the waves. He felt the winds blowing. And he saw the storm. And he saw the circumstances. And as he saw those things, he began to sink. He began to go under. What is Peter going to do now? What is he going to say? What's he going to do? He could have given up and sank to the bottom. The devil could have said, Peter, you're a total failure. You have tried and you have failed. Why don't you just give up? Peter could have attempted to succeed in his own strength. He could have ignored the Lord walking on the water and tried to succeed in his own strength by swimming back to the boat. He could have tried that. Sometimes when we lose the spirit, we try in the flesh. And Paul wrote to the Galatians and he said, are you so foolish? Having begun in the spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Fortunately, Peter, he knew exactly what to do. He didn't try to swim back to the boat. He didn't just sink to the bottom and said, well, there's just no use. I'll just let the devil laugh in my face and just chalk it up as failure and die here. No, he cried out to Jesus. When a person fails, when a person sins, that individual's got to call out to Jesus. He wants us to sin not, but if we do sin. The Bible says we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Jesus is saying, I don't want you to sin, but if you do sin, don't give up. Just call on me and I'll be there for you. I'll be there for you. Clap your hands to the Lord. Thank God right now. God, I thank you that you're there for me. Through thick and thin, you're always there for me. So Peter, he cried out. That's exactly what he did. Jesus, save me. Lord, save me. And Jesus reached down. And he took Peter by the hand and he helped him return to the boat. Hear me. If you once walked with God, but now maybe you're sinking in the waters, the circumstances you began to put your eyes on instead of Jesus, and you feel like quitting and never trying again, I've come to encourage you today. I've come today with this word that I feel the Lord has given me for somebody. Just cry out to Jesus. Ask him to help you. Ask him to deliver you. Ask him to save you. He'll reach down his hand when nobody else will. He'll reach down his hand to you, even as he did for Peter. And you who walked with God and believed God and walked before can get up. And you can walk again. When you have faltered, never give up. You've toiled all night long and you don't have anything in your hands to show for it. But at your word, Jesus, I'll get up and I'll do it again. I'll do it again. Don't give up, Peter. He would have to hear that. He would need that lesson again as time neared for Jesus to die on the cross. Jesus said to Peter in Luke 22 and 31, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Peter insisted, Pastor, he insisted that he was never going to give up. He was never going to be offended because of Jesus. That he was ready to die with Jesus if necessary. That he would never deny his Lord. But Jesus told him this very night, you're going to deny me. But you're not only going to not deny me one time, but before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. Jesus and his disciples, they went into the garden to pray. And he left most of the disciples in one part of the garden. And he took Peter and James and John further into the garden with him. Then he left even them behind, and he went yet further to pray. And after Jesus had completed his prayer, some people from the house of the high priest that came for him. And Peter had told Jesus, this is Peter speaking, he had told Jesus, I may die with you, but I'll never deny you. I'll never deny you. And now Peter had something in his hand to prove it. Peter had a sword to prove it. He was ready to fight off the whole entire posse by himself. And he took out the sword to attack. Perhaps he was aiming for the head of Malchus, the servant of the high priest. Perhaps when he swung the sword, Malchus saw something coming towards his head out of the corner of his eye, and he saw it coming and he ducked, and Peter cut off his ear. You know, it seems like Jesus would have turned around and looked at Peter and said, thank you, Peter. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. You know, when I read this particular portion of Scripture in the Bible where Peter cut off the ear of Malchus, you know, I'm thinking to myself, you go, Peter. You go. Come on. You go. That's the way to stand up for Jesus. That's the way to take up for him. You're doing right, Peter. You're doing right. And you would have thought Jesus, Pastor, would have turned around and said, Peter, thank you. Thank you for taking up for me. Thank you for standing up for me. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. Instead, Jesus rebuked Peter. Peter followed afar off, all the way to the courtyard of the high priest. While he was there, he denied knowing Jesus three times. He denied being one of the disciples, even to the point of cussing and cursing. About that time, Jesus was led across the courtyard. I could imagine in my mind there were no words exchanged. But the eyes of Jesus met the eyes of Peter. Perhaps Peter was reminded of what Jesus had said, Simon, didn't I tell you that Satan desired to have you, to sift you as wheat, to sift every bit of energy that I've given you, something that I've instilled into you out of you. Peter had done what he said he would never do, deny Jesus Christ. So what should Peter do now? Should he quit? Should he give up? No, sir. No, ma'am. Perhaps he still remembered something. Perhaps he still remembered that lesson from way back in the beginning. Peter, when it looks like there is no hope because you've become a total failure, never, never, ever give up. Just get up and try again. You've toiled all night long, Peter, and now you don't have anything in your hands to show for it. But at my word, Peter, just get up. Get up off the ground and do it again. Peter, he went out and he wept bitterly. He was sorry for what he did, but he became a leader in the church. And after the infilling of the Holy Ghost of the 120 in the upper room, Peter preached the keynote message and 3,000 people were saved. And later 5,000 were saved through his preaching. On one occasion, as he walked down the street, his shadow fell on those who were sick and they were healed. Oh no, Peter, never give up. Never ever give up. When you feel that you have failed, never give up. Toiled all night long, that's all right. Nothing in your hands to show for it, that's all right. God at your word, I'm going to do what you tell me one more time. I've prayed before, I'm going to pray again. I've fasted before, I'm going to fast again. God, at your word, I'm going to give up and I'm going to go. I'm going to do it in Jesus' name. Why do we stand? Why do we lift our hands? And why do we tell the Lord that right now? Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll do it again. Hallelujah. You've toilless remained standing when you've toiled. You fought. You don't have anything in your hands to show for it. You feel like you've beat your head up against a brick wall. You feel like your prayers are bouncing off the roof. You feel like your prayers are bouncing off the ceiling, bouncing off the wall, bouncing off the floor. But I want you to know, hear what David said. David said, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me, because my cry came to him and entered into his ears, and he heard my cry. I want you to know you're crying out to the Lord, and those cries are not going on deaf ears. The world's gods, they have ears that do not hear. They have hands that do not touch. They have feet that do not walk. They have a voice that does not speak, eyes that do not see. But our God has eyes that see, hands that touches, feet that walk to where we're at, has a heart that feels. Knows the feelings of our infirmities. He knows, he feels, he understands, he sees, he listens, he hears, My God, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. Praise God. You feel like you've toiled. You feel like you've gone on, and you feel that there's nothing in your hands to show for it. It's not time to throw in the towel. It's time to just throw our hands up in the air and say, God, nevertheless, at thy word, I've thrown the net on that side of the boat I don't know how many times tonight. But God, if you're telling me to do it again, nevertheless, at thy word, I will do it again. Folks, I wonder if there's somebody I'm preaching to right now, you would just step out of your pew. We're not trying to embarrass anybody, but you would come to the front and you would say, God, I'll try throwing the net over on that side of the boat again. Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll do it. I'll do it again. I'll do it whatever you tell me, God. I'll do it. Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll do it now in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. There were two frogs that sat on the edge of a half-filled milk can as you come. Go ahead, come. One day the frogs, they happened to slip in and they fell in this milk can. The frogs immediately, they began to jump. They jumped with all their might. They reached for the edge of that milk can so they could grab a hold and pull out. And they jumped and they jumped and they splashed and they jumped. And rather than getting closer to the edge, it seemed they were moving farther and farther away. And finally, one frog said to the other, there's no need of jumping anymore. We've been jumping all this time. It hasn't done any good. I'm going to quit. And the other frog said, you know what? You can quit if you want to. You can quit if you will. But as long as I can make a muscle move or a nerve twitch, I'm going to keep on jumping. Well, the first frog did exactly what he said he was going to do. He quit jumping. He sank to the bottom of that milk can. He drowned. But the second frog, he just kept on jumping. Hear me, you toiled all night long. You don't have anything in your hands to show for it. But at thy word, Jesus, I'm going to keep on reaching out. I'm going to keep on believing. I'm going to keep on trusting you right now. I wonder if you'd lift your voice right now to the Lord. You lift your hands. The Lord is going to hear your cry. Your cry right now is going to enter to ears that hear your call, hear your cry. I wonder right now if you'd lift your voice like a trumpet to the Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, toiled all night, nothing to show for it, but at your word, Lord, I'll do it again, I'll do it again, I'll do it again, in Jesus' name. Come on, let's lift our voice like a trumpet to the Lord. Jesus, hear my call. Jesus, hear my plea. Jesus, hear my cry. Thank you, Lord, you see me. You see me in this storm. You see me in this trial. You see the test that I'm faced with, and I don't have anything in my hands to show for it. But the Lord is saying, do it one more time. Nevertheless, God, at your word, I'll do it. I'll do it at your word. I'll do it in the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. I wonder if you'd reach close by and you'd pray for somebody close to you if it's appropriate. I wonder if you pray for that one close to you right now in Jesus' name. The Lord is touching some lives. The Lord is touching some hearts. Won't you just trust God? Won't you believe God in the name of the Lord? Hallelujah, hallelujah. God sees, God knows, God hears, He understands. You're not alone. You're not by yourself. He won't put any more on you than you could bear in the name of Jesus. Yes, in Jesus' name.